Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy. Well, I want to talk about rehoming orphan children that's taking place right now, this tragedy of where parents who adopt children are deciding they don't want anymore. They found out, you know, parenting, especially parenting someone else's child who didn't have the foundational years right, or how the gestation period of that child in the womb where the mother didn't even think about, obviously the whole root of this whole thing is all about me.
Right.
Is that I couldn't stop the destructive behavior while I had a child inside of me, which caused brain damage or, you know, whatever type of situation, damage to the child. And they are adopting these children, and CBN News is reporting about this. And we want to hear this because the question we want to ask ourselves is how come parents, and we're going to talk about this today, how come parents are not wanting their children and children are not wanting their parents? And how come the government's supporting this? And how come they're wanting to take over parenting roles? I mean, what's happening? Why wasn't and why hasn't, why has family, marriage, and children and parents become a foreign terminology in regards to God's people?
Yeah.
And listen, I want to hear this. We're going to continue this conversation.
A recent investigation into international adoptions came up with a disturbing report. A growing number of parents are using the internet to get rid of children adopted from abroad. And as Charlene Israel reports, not only is that a double tragedy for these children, it can also be downright dangerous.
Evan Jones enjoys spending time with his family, but life hasn't always been carefree for the Ukrainian teenager. His mother died when he was 8. Then Evan and his sister went to live with his grandmother. But when she could no longer care for them, they were placed in an orphanage. He left the institution when a U.S. couple who had hosted him one Christmas decided to adopt him.
It was really amazing when I actually got a family because, I mean, I realized that God answered my prayer. And I had a little brother and a sister and another brother. So it was like a complete family like I imagined.
Evan moved with his new family to Charlotte, North Carolina. But it wasn't the happy ending of his dreams. His parents quickly learned they weren't fully prepared to take care of Evan, and they searched for a new family to take him in. Evan's story is not unique.
An 18-month investigation by Reuters uncovered parents using internet message boards to advertise unwanted adopted children. It's a practice known as rehoming.
Most of the online posts featured children 6 to 14 who had been adopted from countries such as China, Russia, Ethiopia, and Ukraine. The report found these transactions taking place on 8 Yahoo message boards and a Facebook group. One from a mother who adopted a Guatemalan 11-year-old reads, "I am totally ashamed to say it, but we do truly hate this boy." Adoption experts blame part of the problem on lack of government oversight and little international monitoring. Some of the children ended up in unsafe situations.
Children were placed with pedophiles and with people who had psychiatric problems and violent tendencies.
A Liberian teen says her adoptive parents gave her away when she was 13. She says her new guardians told her to sleep in the same bed with them and that the new mom slept without clothing. A girl adopted from Russia was sent to 3 different homes in the U.S. over a 6-month period. Chuck Johnson of the National Council for Adoption says that while the majority of adoptions work out well, he calls the ones uncovered in the news investigation troubling.
It's a double tragedy because when you consider the circumstances the child endured.
He urges families considering adoption to do their research, especially in international arrangements. That includes their adoption agency and prospective child's background. Families should also be prepared to deal with the emotional scars suffered by many orphans.
That's something that every family has to enter into this arrangement, realizing that it's very likely that the child that they adopt will have some special needs.
Last December, Russia banned U.S. adoptions of its children after an American woman put her 7-year-old adopted son on a plane back to Russia all by himself. The mother claimed the boy was violent and had severe psychological problems. Adoption experts say in many cases, overwhelmed parents don't know there is help. For those who choose to relinquish their parental rights, there is a safe legal way to do so through adoption dissolution.
It'll be done under the auspices of professional care with social workers and counselors and courts, all making sure that the children's best interests are paramount in wherever they go.
Evan is reaping the benefits of such an arrangement. David and Julie Jones heard about his need for a new home through an international adoption support group.
We had a loving family who's saying, we can't do this, we need help.
The Joneses and their teenage son built a bond with Evan that grew stronger over time.
I really liked him, and over time I began to call him Mom and Dad.
The Joneses eventually adopted Evan.
We did all this with the consent of the other parents and with, lawyers in both states. You know, we covered our bases every way that we knew that we should.
He says he has no hard feelings toward his previous family. While the family didn't want to do an on-camera interview, they gave us this statement. Evan is and always will be a member of our extended family. In fact, we consider the entire Jones family to be a part of our extended family. Our children think of Evan as a cousin of sorts now, and we hope that we will always have a relationship with Evan. Meanwhile, the Joneses admit taking Evan in has its challenges, but they are committed.
We will not tell you that we have not raised our voices in our home, because we have. But once we have been able to, with God's help, say, okay, God, what is it in me that is pushing that button, and God reveals it and we can repent or be healed ourselves. Then when the child gets angry and we don't get angry, that's when the healing begins.
And that makes Evan even more grateful.
There's been really bad moments, but they've still kept me and loved me and cared for me. And I mean, after those things are over, they would treat me the same way they treated me before.
Charlene Israel, CBN News.
So important, such a timely beginning of a conversation that we're going to have today. Why we have adults right now that would give their right arm to be able to have a child, and we have other parents who would give their right arm not to have a child, even to the point of murdering their child, but it's not willing to live with giving their child to this person who would give their right arm for the child. Because why? Because it was conceived because of self. And now that you conceive me, you're keeping me under this unloving relationship, oppressing me.
Wow.
Because you don't want me. But you don't want yourself to look bad because you gave me up. And it's like, I came into the world because of you, and now I'm under your oppression. Listen, we're going to continue this conversation. Why do parents not want children, and children don't want parents? And why is the government facilitating this? We've got to ask these real questions. If we've murdered 55-plus million children in the womb, we're rehoming children that we had this fantasy about adopting them. The government's infiltrating the family. We're coming against homeschoolers. We're exporting parents who tried to homeschool their children and tried to get exile in America and say, we don't want that here. It's like we have common core taking place. It's like, you know, it takes a village to raise a kid. I mean, what is going on?
Wow.
What is happening in the context of this? We're going to continue this conversation. Well, you know, we're talking about we just heard rehoming children, rehoming orphan children. If you missed it, we heard it in an earlier program. We have four programs back to back every day. And understand that that's a major thing. And I can, if you never parented before, step aside.
Right.
If you had a child and you got rid of the child through abortion or any other way, step aside. I'm talking to parents who actually have done this thing. And we're having a conversation now. You know, this is a very difficult thing. You know that the government does not support you in the context of your role as a parent. They blame you, but they don't support you in what you have to do to be able to raise a child. And they accuse you. And it's been happening, I guess, since the 50s or 60s or something. It has to do with all those things that broke loose around that time. And it's like, let's go figure out why your parents are your fault. But yet why they put you in jail, by the way, for your crimes. Like, well, how come you didn't put your mama in jail? Because because they're just lying to you.
Right.
You're your own fault. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, what's happening? Because if you raise someone else's child that they raised at a certain early stages of their life, then you're raising literally somebody else's way of doing it. They've already taken on their parents' spirit. They've already taken on the damaging lifestyle maybe that they had, and you somehow have to work that out. And this can be done, but it can't be done the way it should be done with a government that's actually tying your hands. And when you're having to be, you know, strong and steadfast, and I mean, sort of like the law enforcement does, you know, that we approve of every day, to be able to say, this has to be done. This is how it's going to be done. The way judges do, if you go in their courtroom, if you do wrong, they say, you won't believe this. If you're in a courtroom and the judge tells you, do not do something, you know what he or she does, the judge does, and you do it again? This is what they say. They say, take that man or woman,
that's right,
put handcuffs on that man or woman, take them and put them in a locked up cell until they learn their lesson. Now they tell parents, you make your child stand in the corner and count to 10. I'm not saying cuff your child, Lord knows. But I'm saying, find out what God says about raising children, the creator of life, and say, you know what, I'm going to seek his way and begin to elect officials, because this is a representative government, that says, I stand with the way God says family should be, and the way children should be, and the way parenting should be. And eventually our laws will reflect that, because we make our representatives make those laws. But now this whole thing is promulgated from abortion, and it began in the 60s, got legalized in the 70s, to the point where marriage now is out, gone in the context of a lot of people's minds. Having children and aborting children is like not a big deal in people's mindset. And now they're rehoming children. I changed my mind. I want to. Is there a return policy? I guess they have a drop-down return policy now on sites that you can adopt to children. You can just select return like you can at Amazon.com. And I guess a drone in the future will pick up the child and take the child back with Amazon's future.
Wow.
But either way, the stork used to deliver children. I guess the drone will deliver them and take them away.
No stork.
Mm. And so now they have this group. It's called Childless by Choice. Childless by Choice. And CBS News is reporting on them. And so, what is this group about? They started off, and you can see this interview in its entirety on the VFN Torch. Go to VFNTV.com, and they start with a group. What is the group in Arkansas that has 19 children?
The Duggars?
The Duggar family. So when you start hearing the Duggar family, you're thinking this is going to be the wrong thing. No, first they talk about the Duggar family, and then they go into Childless by Choice. So you got to first see what's right and godly.
Mm.
And then they show that the selfish, narcissistic adults that are saying, you know, we just feel indifferent about them. We don't hate them. And by the way, the word indifferent. If somebody feels indifferent towards you, you will feel that. You'll feel hate. By the way, you'll feel like
the disguise. It's masquerading word.
So, childless by choice is what they call it. They proudly call themselves childless by choice. We do not plan to have, entertain, spend a dime on these children. As a matter of fact, listen up right now.
Aura and Vinny Ciaccio got married. Tracy Ellen Caymans and Jared Skolnick felt the same way. Both couples are now members of a social club for the childless by choice called No Kidding.
There are people out there who say, oh, people who don't have kids hate kids. Do you guys hate kids?
I don't hate kids. Well,
My favorite quote is Jerry, the founder of No Kidding, says, I like women's breasts. I don't want my own.
I've been an SAT teacher and loved my students, but I just don't feel the same way about toddlers and babies that everyone else seems to.
But it doesn't mean you hate them.
No, I don't hate them. I'm indifferent toward them.
Why pose the question, why have kids?
That's so important, because what she's saying is, I don't hate them. I just feel indifferent about them. Childless by choice. This is this SAT teacher in your school who says, I don't like these. I feel indifferent towards the fact of children. It's like, why are you teaching our kids? Why are you? And so that's who's teaching. A lot of the teachers. Not there's a lot of good, godly teachers, but I'm not going to not tell the truth about the teachers who are feeling this way. She touches the SAT college classes to be able to go into college, and she says, I feel indifferent about them. When you think about, you know, indifferent, I mean, I'm a, you know, when you look the words up, and I think it's really important for us to be able to do that because we don't know our vocabulary as well as Pat knows his vocabulary. Mm-hmm. I guess you can find this thing. I'm going to read it to you, but nothing's actually coming up anymore. Can you pull that up? I want to read that to you. But childless by choice, and they're talking about this, it's like, what are we coming to? We're aborted 55 plus million children. You're going to hear in hopefully this program or our next program today, four programs back to back, about we are even exporting, not giving asylum to a Christian German family who just wanted to homeschool their children. That they came in and they took their children from them. So they had to flee to America. I mean, that's persecution. That's why we do what we do. And so they came to America for mm-hmm. asylum. Simple thing like wanting to homeschool their children. And you're thinking, obviously, we're going to come behind this, right?
Right, we'll support this.
Right, and we didn't. As a matter of fact, you're going to hear in just a moment after this break. First, I want you to hear this next aspect of, childless by choice, and then we're going to go to a break and come back and hear about this German family that the Supreme Court ruled send them back to Germany, where we know they're going to take their kids. They're going to take their kids away. John, I don't know what society's coming to. And we have to ask ourselves the question, not what we say, but what our fruit is.
Right.
And the fruit is that the church itself, when you look at, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, I mean, what is the percentage of Christians in their lifetime that will reproduce and have a spiritual child that will actually go out and win one person to the Lord? What is the percentage?
I think they say it's that not even, 95%, my understanding is, won't even lead one person to the Lord in their whole life.
Which is what Jesus says. When you make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, you are born again. They're a babe in Christ. What this means is this, is that you give birth into the kingdom of God. And this is what the church's mentality is like, I don't want to spend 95% in America saying, I don't want to have spiritual children. I don't want to mentor nobody. I don't want to pour my life out for someone else. And now look at society. Look at society reflecting the church. Look at the eunuch spirit over the church, this huge Jezebelic principality oppressing a nation, and the church is saying, with our fruit, not our words.
That's right.
I mean, everybody wants a giving unit, yes, as they put it. But in regards to souls in the kingdom of God, it's like, come on. This same mentality is in the church.
Right.
Childless by choice. Listen to this next part of their interview, childless by choice here.
That's a mistake. I think we all make selfish decisions. Every time you go out and, buy yourself a latte instead of donating money to the poor, you're making a selfish decision. Life is about balancing the things you do for yourself with the things you do for the world. And there's a lot of ways to contribute to the world other than having kids.
Most people
think about that. And so she's seeing the context of this as the world.
Right.
As the world, and it's like, that has nothing to do with you and God and what's going on. Indifference defined as without interest or concern, not caring, apathetic, having no bias or prejudice, whatever. And how many parents, even though they have children, these guys chose not to have them, but how many parents are indifferent towards their children?
Right.
They don't.
These folks are being honest. They're being honest.
And how many Christians are indifferent towards souls being born in the kingdom?
Yeah, just, whatever, don't care.
Yeah, and so they're being tied together. Childless by choice. We're talking about the reality of the state and the mindset of America. And remember that the world reflects, the church reflects Israel, and the world reflects the church.
Mm-hmm.
And in the context of that, that ever how goes Israel, so goes the church. Ever how goes the church, so goes the world. And so Jesus says this. He says, well, the Word of God says this. When all these things start happening that are bad and tragic and the stuff we're talking about in today's program, childless by choice and the abortions and all the things that are taking place, rehoming children, and we're going to talk more about how the government's getting involved in the context of that, we got to say, well, these things are happening. We need to check ourselves as believers, as Christians. Have we done that? Are we truly we have to ask ourselves, are we as the church childless by choice? Because Jesus said, you must be born again. And of course, Nicodemus says, right? He says, how can I go back in my mother's mm-hmm. womb again? And he's talking about being born in the spirit. So when somebody is born in the kingdom, when you lay your life down and you go tell somebody about Jesus and they say, yes, you know, and this is why you don't tell somebody that they're going to say, that they say yes, then you got a baby on your hands.
That's right.
And you're going to have to raise that baby. And so one way you've defeated that is like you get hirelings and you go interview them and you put them as like, here, I'll bring them here. And I'll corral them at this daycare called you call it a church, but it's a building because you right. are the church. How can you go to what you are? All you can do is truly be.
I'll just drop them off here, right?
Drop them off here or develop specialty ministries. You know, it's like, okay, when you go in, do not even see me. Just go off to the neurosurgeon, the child this and the adult that. And it's like, what happened, you know? What happened to the family context of what's going on? And so I just have a challenge here. You know, if we look at the world, if we look at America, the American church can say, is that us?
Mm.
Are we childless by choice? Do we have fatherless? We have 10,000 teachers, but very few fathers. If 95% of us are choosing, according to George Barna, not to tell one person, win one person to the Lord in our entire lifetime, that's childless by choice. These guys are being honest.
That's right.
It's time to just have some honest conversation. I mean, if that's what you're doing, the only person you're lying to is yourself. And it's not bad that you're lying to yourself. It just irks me that you believe your own lie.
Mm.
Or it irks me for the fact that you think I believe the lie. It's like, do you think you're actually fooling me here? I mean, what is it? I see what you're doing. You don't love that child. You don't love your parent. And you're acting it all out. But it just seems inappropriate, not politically correct, and not biblically correct for you to say what this woman said that you heard when we talked about and CBN News reported on it. I got to be honest with you. I hate this child.
Mm.
And the truth is, things can happen in our life where we get offended and things happen. And we have to go to God and say, God, help me, forgive me for holding this unforgiveness and heal me from this. That's what life's about. But in the context of it's like, my goodness, we got to ask the question, is the church childless by choice? That's the name of their group. They said, mm-hmm. we don't want to have any kids. We just want to be able to spend our money on ourselves. They talked about there's more things you can do for the world
than
have a child. It's like, what does that have to do with the world? What about God? And mm-hmm. and it's not working for the world. It's living for God in the context of that. When we pull God out of just, and the church is childless by choice. So why should we be upset about this New York lady who's saying, hey, we're just childless by right. choice right here. And you can watch the whole interview. You got to see the whole interview. It starts with the Duggars. You can see it at VFNTV.com. Click on the torch. And go see this, because the truth is, are they reflecting? Is this lady reflecting the church? We have people out there. Think about it. We have people out there right this moment that would give their right arm. They're paying thousands and thousands of dollars just to have a child.
Mm-hmm.
They may not have one. It may be a fantasy, but at least they really want one, because you don't know until you had a child
sure.
who you really are. Sad thing about it, a lot of people are trying to satisfy something inside of them other than I want to pour my life into this child and want them to do better than me.
Right.
What a concept.
Right.
And so because of self-focus, they want to go out and grab a child and they say, okay, I'm going to raise this child up, and they do adopt the child. They finally get what they always, I wanted. And then the child says, I will never think about you. I will only think about myself. Right. I'm born narcissist. You have to train me up in the way to come out of this. But the fact is that if you are a narcissist yourself, if the whole world is about you, you'll never be able to train that child up in not being a narcissist.
That's right.
God would say an idolatrous.
It takes work. It takes work raising children, laying mm-hmm. your life down. And if you're lifting yourself up, it's all about you. You're not going to be able to do it.
Well, it's a spiritual thing. So if you are an idolater, and every decision you make, every dime you spend, everything is about you. Your child, who is struggling with the same thing about idolatry, they're never going to listen to you, because you're saying, after you bow down to your idol, telling them not to bow down to what they want and their desires and all their decisions on themselves. You know, you're kind of indifferent, as she said, towards these children. Mm-hmm. The thing is, what happened to society? What happened to society? What happened to the governments? What happened to the world? What happened to the church that got to this point when, if we were honest, you have to be honest. You have to be honest with this, because, you know, some parents are not doing a good job. Some children are not listening to their parents. Many aren't. But the government is actually fueling this thing by the things that they're allowing, the things they're putting in school, in the school system. They're basically forming a posse against parents who want, and we're going to talk about that in our next program, four programs back to back. Don't miss them, because we're going to continue on talking about this German couple, family, Christian couple, that wanted to, they were homeschooling their children in Germany, and the government comes in and takes their children from them because mm-hmm. they believe in Germany, according to reports, that the government's supposed to have your children and raise them. But listen, we have a candidate running for president, or reportedly soon running for president. She wrote a book. Hillary Clinton wrote a book. It takes a community to raise a child. And you'll hear about in our next program today, we'll get four programs back to back, that you will hear MSNBC talking the very same thing, the messaging out about, listen, really, truly, that your child doesn't belong to you. Your child belongs to the community. By the way, God will hold you accountable. For what, you know, you could say that that child that you aborted belonged to the community, and your community could have convinced you it'd been better for you not to have that child. But when you stand before the throne of God, lest you have repented, then God's going to say, why did you kill this child?
You, not the community. Not the community is not going to be behind you. You.
Exactly. But you can repent, and God's going to say, yeah, but I've forgiven you in that. Mm-hmm. But in the context of this, you know, the church is childless. The church is childless. So we're sort of like this childless club. You know, childless by choice club. We've got all these adults. Nobody's planning on evangelizing. Nobody's going to do anything that would cause fertility in the body of Christ. Mm. It's like a eunuch spirit. You know, but you think about, what did Jezebel have around her?
Eunuchs.
Eunuchs. Yes. She had eunuchs around her. And the thing about it is, this Jezebelic spirit over America, this principality, this locking down and seducing government, and the true authorities is being pressed down, which would be an Ahab-type spirit. It produces a whole bunch of eunuchs. And so we have 95%, if you think about the context of that, are childless by choice, are eunuchs by choice. Mm. They're not going to do anything, give anything, with 97% robbing from God and tithes and offerings. Don't give too much. You might have a child here.
Hey.
And we don't want to hang around too much. We don't want to go out and do too much stuff for God, because somebody says yes to Jesus. Guess what? You're going to need to raise them. You're going to need to disciple them. You're going to need to have a relationship. As a matter of fact, you're going to have to invite them into your life and say, we're family now, the family of God. And what do you say? This is what the American church has been saying. We're childless by choice. So when we look at the state of the government and we see what's going on, understand the condition of America and the condition of the government in the world right now is because of the condition of the church. Until my people, God says, humble themselves and pray and turn from our childless by choice mindsets and aborting mindsets and non-family mindsets, then the world's going to reflect that. But if we do, he'll hear from heaven. He'll bless our land. Catch us. You've got to find out in the next program, four programs back to back, how we're talking about how government now is trying to infiltrate the family and break it down and support this whole concept. Childless by choice. You know, what's taking place? Rehoming orphan children, which means people are, it's a phrase that they have now for, parents who decided they adopted a child, but they decided in their own reasoning they didn't want them anymore. And so in the context of that, they just put them on the website and begin to advertise their children, take them back, and it's becoming a normal thing.
Wow.
And we're going to continue that conversation because the society reflects the church. You know, he tells us to be, you know, do not conform to the cultures, to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of the way we think, what we think, want, and feel, our minds. And he says, then you'll know the will of God, the perfect will of God. And so we have to begin to rethink what God says about family, rethink what God says about marriage. And what you have is, there's some things people like about marriage, and they go, listen, I'll take 80% of that. As a matter of fact, they'll protest, and they will push it down your throat, the 80%. But there's 20%, you know, they don't want. And it's like, that just doesn't work. Mm-hmm. Either it's all God's way, or it's not God's way. And it's like, well, that's not going to happen around this house. Mm-hmm. That's not going to happen in this marriage. It's not going to happen in this family. It's like, listen, then you're saying you're not going to follow God.
Right.
You're saying that you're childless by choice. Because it's childless by choice. When you think about this, you know, you have parents that give their right arm to have a child, or adults who are childless. But also you have parents who have a child who will give their right arm to get rid of the child. They'll even murder the child, abort the child, instead of having it and raising the child up. But yet the church is the same way. 95% of the church doesn't help one person get born again into the kingdom, according to George Barna. The church is childless. Mm. So how these things are interacting, when we're seeing things reflect, we look at society, we could ask ourselves, God, have we sinned against you? Have we left what you say marriage is supposed to be? Have we left what you say family is supposed to be? And why is government intervening? Because what we're fixing to hear right now, and this is from The Blaze, where Glenn Beck is speaking about this German couple, a family that has this child that came to America because they were homeschooling their children in Germany. And the way Germany thinks about children is the same way you're going to hear it's being said now in America, this new way of thinking, this fundamental transformation of way of thinking about it. And to think about it, if you don't want a spouse and you don't want children, hey, this new way of doing things is all for you because it's all about you. And by the way, who your daddy is, it's going to be government. Mm. It's not going to be God, because you cannot have God and government, God and money. If you choose money over your child's life, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Over having a child. And so this is all about selfishness, you know, self-centeredness, idolatry, dear God. And the enemy's taking advantage of this. We have to deal with these things in our life. And here's this German family who wanted to homeschool. Germany reportedly says, you cannot educate your children in your home. You have to put them in the common core. You have to put them in the public school system, because we're the ones that raise your children up, because that's where they indoctrinate children. Understand this, and hopefully we'll get a chance to talk about this. The Communist Manifesto, when you talk about, you know, Russia and Germany and different aspects of communism, that's, you know, remnants of it and all the things that are taking place in socialism, that one thing that they do is infiltrate the school system and they begin to raise your child up. And they can change a nation. This is what Hitler did. Yeah. Hitler began a youth movement to begin to reformulate the thinking of the young folks. And now we have a whole bunch of trained up children and people in their teens and people in their 20s, maybe even a little bit in their 30s, that have been trained up over the last 50 years in the school system that's trained them that this is normal. And for the rest of the thousands of years, it wasn't, but all of a sudden it is.
Right.
And this is what it's coming to. And so this family runs to, you got to hear, listen to Glenn Beck as he talks about it from The Blaze. And it is amazing what we've done to this couple. We turned them away. We turned this family and sent them back to Germany, which means their kids are going to be taken from them. What is our future, America? If the church doesn't repent, listen up.
When Melissa Harris Perry got into hot water, she was saying on television that your kids belong to the community and not to parents. That's an MSNBC promo. She and the left try to play this off as no big deal. She said, oh, I don't want to take your kids. But then she followed it up with what this fight is really all about. Listen to this.
This is about whether we as a society, expressing our collective will through our public institutions, including our government, have a right to impinge on individual freedoms in order to advance a common good. And that is exactly the fight that we have been having for a couple hundred years.
America, listen up carefully. What if society decides it's best for the collective, for your child, to go through the government school system and nothing else? Just what the government says, you know, for the common good. Your children are at school for 6 and even 8 hours a day. There are those in this administration that want them to be in school for 10 to 12 hours a day. And they're currently there from the age of 6 until 18. That's a pretty huge decision, choosing where and who your schools, who schools your children. And currently it's being made by you in your with your local school board. Kind of. If mom and dad can't make that decision, who is more the parent of the child in this case, the collective or the parent? They are with others, and those others are making decisions in their life that greatly impact their life. You get them at dinner. You have them at breakfast. You have them on weekends. You are a weekend dad. Tonight I'm going to introduce you to a couple and a family that left their native Germany for this very reason. The Romika family. They have been homeschooling their children in Germany because they wanted to teach their children about God. Now, this is not something that you're allowed to do in Germany in school. After 5 years of homeschooling, this family had the government show up on their door. One day, the German government knocked on their door. They removed their children from the home, placed them in a van, and escorted the kids to class. Well, the kids, as you can imagine, were in tears. A government van shows up and throws them in the back. Now, I would imagine that my kids would be in tears, being ripped from their home, thrown in the back of the van, a frightening experience. But the next day, the police showed up again. But this time something happened. Friends surrounded the lawn and the police decided to leave. The family was eventually fined $10,000 for homeschooling their children. $10,000 fine, because they don't have a right to homeschool. Obviously, if they were to continue homeschooling there, they would have gone bankrupt, paying fines, or go to jail. They were told that they would go to jail and lose the kids. Here is their story. Tonight I want to introduce you to a family that eats together, laughs together, and cries together. I want to tell you the story of the Romika family. In 2008, parents moved their kids from Germany to seek asylum in America because they were being persecuted for homeschooling, which is an old Nazi law in Germany. Homeschooling is still illegal. It took 2 years, but in 2010, they were granted asylum by the U.S. government. We feel here that you should be able to teach your kids whatever you want. In Germany, the old Nazi laws say no. In a small town outside of Knoxville, Tennessee, they found a place to call home, and what a home it is.
The landscape is very nice, and the people are very nice and friendly, and I would say they are also nicer and friendlier to kids here.
There, the family with six kids were able to finally enjoy the freedom they had dreamed of. The freedom to live, learn, teach in their own home, and follow their Christian beliefs.
We enjoy the freedom of homeschooling here, so freedom of education. That's something we didn't have.
But their struggle is far from over. The life they have created in the town with the rolling hills in Tennessee is now being threatened. Because this administration wants you to know it is not a basic human right to be able to teach your children what you deem appropriate. Now, the U.S. Agency for Immigration and Customs Enforcement, ICE, has filed an appeal on their asylum. This has already gone through a U.S. court. They have asylum. And ICE is, what is it the president says we have bigger things to do? ICE is now arguing that homeschoolers are not a fit category for granting asylum. In other words, there is no basic human right to educate your own children as you see fit. I want you to know that this is the most crucial and critical piece of the entire hour that you need to understand. The family is fighting for their right to stay here in America. They're fighting deportation. Romika versus Holder is now before the United States Court of Appeals for the Sixth Circuit and will be held in 5 days. This amazing family came to America to educate their children. They thought they were coming to the land of the free, but unfortunately, they may not recognize it as much as some of us will. They are being targeted for educating their own children in the land of the free, and they may not recognize how far we have drifted. This time, by the same administration that would not go after the Black Panthers, they have been dancing around the Saudi National that just blew off limbs of Americans in our streets, and people are currently petitioning the White House to grant a permanent legal status to this family. But they have no intention of it. Why? Jay Carney was asked about this just last week.
There's a petition at whitehouse.gov, an online petition, and it's gotten over 100,000 signatures saying they want the president to intervene so that this family doesn't have to go back to Germany. They think the public schools, they've been homeschooling their kids here in America, and they don't like the German public schools. It's reached over 100,000 signatures. What's the process for reacting to something like that, and are you aware of the specific case?
I'm not aware of it. I will certainly take the question. We do have a threshold beyond which we respond to We the People petitions, and if that threshold is crossed, I'm sure we will respond, but I don't have a specific comment on this case.
The petition now has over 117,000 signatures, more than the required 100,000 to be able to get that response from the White House. But Carney isn't aware of it. Mm-hmm. So why would the administration go out of their way to fight this? What difference does this make? Remember, they were releasing illegal immigrant criminals from prison because of sequester before sequester even hit. So why would this administration, why are they fighting tooth and nail to send this family who is here legally back to Germany? Why? We go back to MSNBC. As the progressive host said, they believe your children is not yours. They belong to the collective. Progressives are always teaching our kids that the state knows better than mom and dad. Well, what better way to hammer that point home than to stick it to this homeschooling family from Germany and set a precedence? Leftist hack sites like Salon are now arguing that I'm only defending this family because they're white. What are you for? I am defending them because I do believe that we have a God-given right to teach our children the way we feel God is telling us to teach our children. It's why our pilgrims came here. So, where do we go here? With these modern-day American pilgrims who came here to teach their children and raise their children and worship with their children as they see fit. The administration is fighting them because progressives want total control over your children from cradle to grave. This is a secondary and critical part of Common Core. While we focus on Common Core, while they cultivate information on our kids, they are also blocking the exits by throwing a little-known German family through deportation and throwing them under the bus. But it's not about them. It's about you in the end. Tonight, I'm going to introduce you to this family, and I believe by the end of the hour, you will deeply care about these people, and you may even find the need to stand up for your own rights, for your own children, as you stand up for this family. It is imperative that this family is not sent home. If they lose, you lose. The right as a parent, you know, that private notion of children will be destroyed. Mercury One has been spearheading a defense fund for the family. So far, we have raised $92,204.84. MercuryOne.org.
This is amazing when you're seeing what happened to this German family. And the question is, you know, what happened? What happened in the context of this family? And it did go to the Supreme Court. And they ruled on it. And their ruling was that they denied this family asylum. To be able to come and stay in America.
The interesting thing is that they actually granted them asylum, and then now they're taking it away. Yes. And it's like, what's the deal with that? Yeah, there's a strategy here.
On May the 13th of this year, they denied the family asylum, their reports are. And that means sending them back and the government taking their kids from them. When we get back from the break, listen, what is happening? What condition have we allowed in our lives as the church to cause a society to be going through what they're going through? Because he says, if my people who are called by my name will humble ourselves and pray in turn from how we're seeing family and marriage and children and parents and spiritual children in the Lord, people being born again in the kingdom and being raised as his disciples, then the world will reflect that. I'm going to be able to tell you there's hope. But the first thing I want to say to you real quick, like, the Lord spoke to me last night and showed me that, again, that these consequences are piling up on us and difficult times that you've never even imagined that's going to test men's souls is coming to America if we do not repent. All this we're talking about is just the fruit from us not standing for God and doing what's right. I wanted to begin to tell you about the first great awakening, and that's what it's going to take, a great awakening to take place in America. Listen up.
From the Mayflower Compact to the Declaration of Independence, Christianity was at the heart of America's founding. That key point is often overlooked these days, but the evidence is everywhere. Paul Strand reports on a massive revival in the 1700s that left a radical mark on the birth of our nation.
America's revolutionary fathers weren't just nominal Christians. They were profoundly influenced by the New World's first revival, the Great Awakening. Reverend Eddie Hyatt tells how it hit from the 1720s to 60s in his book, America's Revival Heritage. Colonial pastor Jonathan Edwards, known to pray and study his Bible 13 hours a day, watched radical revival take over his hometown in Massachusetts.
The way he describes it is just like one day God invaded the town of Northampton. The town seemed to be full of the presence of God.
The bars emptied out and Christians' homes filled with people anxious to be saved and know God.
He said if you came across someone who seemed spiritually indifferent, it would be spoken of as a strange thing.
Then the powerful English preacher George Whitefield brought his fiery sermons to America. Scorned by the established church, he preached salvation to huge multitudes outdoors. Crowds from 10,000 to as many as 30,000 showed up.
Entire towns repenting and turning to God.
Whitefield stayed at Benjamin Franklin's home while preaching in Philadelphia, and Franklin wrote of the revival's impact.
From being thoughtless or indifferent about religion, it seemed as if all the world were growing religious so that one could not walk through the town in an evening without hearing psalms sung in different families of every street.
Whitefield lifted up a special prayer for the colonies that would make a huge difference in their revolution and future together.
They would not live as 13 scattered colonies, but as one nation under God.
And indeed, the Great Awakening became the first national event the scattered colonies experienced as one. It unified them unlike any time before, just in time to face the mighty British Empire in war. The revival also shaped the Founding Fathers' core vision for America, that God sets men free. It's their natural right to have liberty, and each is made to rule with Christ. Its influence is all over their Declaration of Independence, U.S. Constitution, and Bill of Rights. As he studied the founders, Hyatt found example after example of how deeply this awakening influenced them and their Christian values. Take Thomas Jefferson, for instance.
He signed all presidential documents in the year of our Lord Christ.
He sent Christian missionaries to one Indian tribe and gave them federal funds to build a church. He also attended Sunday services held in the House of Representatives. Some scholars even doubt the first president's faith. But a Quaker named Isaac Potts, living near Valley Forge, saw George Washington's faith up close during that cruel winter that almost froze his colonial army to death during the Revolution.
He said, I tied my horse to a sapling and went quietly into the woods, and to my astonishment, I saw the great George Washington on his knees alone. He was at prayer to the God of the armies of heaven, beseeching him.
The anti-war Quaker Potts later wrote,
and he says, such a prayer I never heard from the lips of man. We never thought a man could be a soldier and a Christian. But if there is one in the world, it is Washington.
At the Constitutional Convention in 1787, the delegates fought and bickered so bitterly, the convention almost broke up. But then Ben Franklin stood and began to preach.
He says, the longer I live, the more convincing proofs I see of this truth, that God governs in the affairs of men. And if a sparrow cannot fall to the ground without his notice, is it probable that an empire can rise without his aid?
Then Franklin beseeched them to pray together at the start of every day. After that, an atmosphere of peace and reconciliation came upon the founders.
And they were able to proceed and to finish their job of hammering out the American Constitution and Bill of Rights, and in a context of prayer.
60 years after it began, the Great Awakening still influenced the Founding Fathers and continues to benefit our country today. Paul Strand, CBN News.
Dear God, we've sinned against you. We left your ways. Forgive us of our sins. Restore our families as we first let you use us to restore your family. End abortion. Send revival. Send a third great awakening. Lord, we ask you again, raise up the Whitfields. Raise them up, and we will follow you. In Jesus' name. I don't know if you know this or not, but you can now see us on Christian Television Network, which has a potential audience reach of over 500 million viewers all around the world. It's amazing. One of our key audiences, too, as well, we want to welcome our new audience on WHBR all the way from Destin, Florida to Mississippi, over 500,000 households all around the world. It is amazing. Make sure, if you have not yet, you can find out the viewing times in your area. You can ask your local television station if you're not, we're not yet on there. Say you want VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. You can find out more and viewing times in your area at VFNTV.com. Yes, we're 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on the radio, live Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Central Time. But now, thanks to Christian Television Network, you can see us all around the world.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Don't forget to share it with your friends. Find out more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio Program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with your mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.
Did you know that VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program is made possible by those who partner with us and our sponsors and our underwriters? If you have not yet, you've got to go to VFNTV.com and visit them. Find out who is sponsoring, who is partnering, who is standing with VFN Radio, and become a sponsor yourself. Become a partner yourself. Listen, we stand for three pillars we believe. Without these three pillars, we won't even be here as a country anymore. That's for God and country, in that order, and Israel. If you want to take a stand, if you want to do something about what's taking place, now's your time. Partner today or become a sponsor or underwriter and visit our sponsor and underwriters and tell them you are thankful that they're standing up for God and country, in that order, and Israel, as we stand with the broadcast 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. Find out more at VFNTV.com.